morning, my friends. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Bro Show. Using the whole can?
What much left in it?
I was going to make one. Well, hope you guys are enjoying the day. Hope you guys got more fit food than I do over here.
Well, I get some more. I think it's on the table right there.
Yeah, I'll go grab one. And hope you guys had a fun, safe, awesome, safe weekend. And you guys are enjoying the BroerShow.com, updated with your daily shows, our daily shows for you guys every single day. Be sure to check them out and also to sign up for weekly and daily updates alongside the product of the week, the zinc glycinate and other products we have on sale right now. Just going through that, over 25% off. So be sure to check that out. And it's something I wanted to bring up firsthand on this because I was looking at it. Because a lot of people have brought this up to me, is that the situation they keep bringing up about this individual in New Mexico who died allegedly with measles. They're not saying whether he died from measles or with measles. It's starting the whole COVID's backstory again. They're not talking about comorbidities. They're not talking about any other health problems. They're not even talking about if he died from it. They're just saying that he tested positive for it, I guess.
Here we go again.
Yes, and so I want to bring this up because they keep putting this in the media every single day. I've been hearing about this now. Measles death, measles case death, measles case death in New Mexico. And at the end of the day, a lot of it is more theater in order to try to push people to get these shots and alongside getting the children shots. And speaking of shots, I told you guys, and again, I was right, and so was Dad. If people stood their ground on this, St. Louis schools ordered to pay $90,000 to each employee in the COVID vaccine mandate suit. Federal court on Thursday awarded $90,000 to each former St. Louis public school employee who sued the district after the request for religious exemption to the district's COVID vaccine mandate was denied.
Wow.
We talked about this in detail when it was going on, as far as on how everybody needs to make sure if you have a religious exemption, that's your stance on it. Don't back out of it and make sure you're standing up for what you believe. And of course, a lot of stuff's been paying out now. So I'm glad these people want some money out of this. Nobody should be forced to get a shot, and nobody should have the religious exemption denied, especially over a COVID vaccine mandate.
That's crazy. It was about setting an example that they could force people to do this, whether they wanted to or not.
Exactly what it was.
It had nothing to do with religious for anybody. These people basically were denied religious freedoms over this.
Yep.
It's because they wanted everybody in the United States. Don't you remember what was it, Justin? It was. You have to have your shot so my shot works.
Yeah, my shot works. If you don't get your shot, my shot doesn't work. That whole concept didn't even make sense from a vaccine standpoint. And then they wanted to force everybody on, tell everybody that that's what you have to do because it's for the betterment of society. It's for your fellow friend.
I look back on it, and I'm still sitting here dumbfounded at the fact that we actually went through that for years.
5 years ago now.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
I know, it was unbelievable. Oh, by the way, sex, drinking, and dementia. 25 lawmakers spill on what Congress is really like. Sex, drinking, and dementia. So I guess these guys are staying drunk while they're having sex while they're basically senile. This is crazy. It said it's hard to find an institution the public loathes more than Congress. But guess what? A lot of people in Congress aren't so happy with it either. You get an inside look at what it's really like to serve on Capitol Hill after years of gridlock, government shutdowns, and now another Donald Trump stampede through Washington. We sat down with 25 lawmakers who were ready to dish. We talked to them about what they hate and love about Congress, why it's broken, and how to fix it. One suggested bring back the powdered wigs. They also told us it would be really shocked the public if they knew the truth about the life as a lawmaker. We had delicate conversations about aging lawmakers, increasingly public deterioration. One member said he was up to a dozen colleagues who aren't up to the job, they're senile, and whether people are actually showing up drunk on the floor is not a no, as well as survival mechanism to get them through the grueling day. And we talk politics, including whether Democrats have learned any lessons at all from the 2024 defeat. We spoke with Democrats, Republicans, men and women, members of the House and Senate, get a candidate into the truth. So basically, instead of sex, lies, and videotape, it's basically sex, alcohol, and senile dementia. Unbelievable.
I think about sums it up. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, everybody loathes most of the people in Congress now. I mean, when you got people like Nancy Pelosi, I mean, I don't even know how long she's been in there now. I mean, she's like a relic.
Mummy.
Yeah. I mean, you get these people in there that have been in there for decades with this lifelong appointment garbage. They keep getting reelected.
Well, it's not term a lifelong appointment. They have so much name recognition, and they can use so much of their money to push themselves back in every single time.
And the problem with it is then they do nothing. All they do is keep laundering money. I mean, look at the stuff we saw earlier now coming out with Stacey Abrams, her group. $2 billion from the EPA. $2 billion from the EPA so her group could go buy Democrat voters new washing machines and refrigerators. Essentially, it was the Biden-era EPA that went through this $2 billion grant to her group then to essentially go in and start giving away all these appliances. And what's crazy about this, when I was reading about this now, is that a lot of the money that she got, they never even spent it on appliances for people. They can't even figure out where the money went. $2 billion can't even be accounted for with her group.
Nine zeros. That's a lot of money.
$2 billion. And what's crazy is all the EPA had to do was give the appliance companies, say like GE, rebates after they gave people free appliances, if that's what they're trying to do to make everything green. Hey, once you give out this refrigerator, you contact us back. We give you a federal grant money back. We give you a federal rebate back. Why would you give an unbelievably corrupt group of people $2 billion from the EPA? This is why I told you guys before the EPA needs to be completely disbanded and restructured. They do absolutely nothing for the environment, and they do everything to push their agenda. I mean,
you see that with the automobile industry and how they keep pushing higher and higher fuel quotas, and that's just to push the electric vehicles. But what's so stupid with the EPA, along with these other governmental agencies that operate, you know, under the Chevron doctrine, is that they don't even take a look at the fact that they have to run nuclear power plants or gasoline power plants or fuel power plants or coal power plants to charge up the EV vehicles.
To build the energy.
No, and they don't even look at the fact there's no infrastructure for this. It saves incredible.
I talked to a buddy of mine yesterday from a Chevy dealership, and they had these Trailblazer EVs. They had a real short run on this special for employees, $1,200 one-time lease payout, as far as you had to pay a $1,200 for a three-year lease for employee pricing. He's telling me about it last night. I was shocked. He said they can't move. He said that the Trailblazer EVs, nothing moves. So they put out this whole lease program with employees, Chevy employees or GM employees, $1,200 for a three-year lease, one payment.
Actually, that'd be great. I would actually do that.
I don't even like EVs. I said, but that would be just something just to drive around. I pull the doors off of it and just drive around like golf cart.
It's a golf cart.
Yeah.
$1,200 golf cart, you know, for 3 years. I mean,
10,000 mile a year cap on it. So 30,000 miles. They said they are so desperate to get rid of inventory that GM is essentially just trying to get people to take the vehicles. Just take them. Just take them, please.
Get them off the lot.
Get them off the lot.
Wow. Oh, by the way, this is interesting. Stephen Greer, a lot of people like him. A lot of people don't like him. A lot of people think he's gay. I don't really care about the gay stuff with him. But he's now saying that we're having a fake alien invasion alert. The Disclosure Project founder, Dr. Stephen Greer, he's issuing an emergency warning that the global transition, transnational deep state is preparing to launch a massive fake alien invasion designed to cause a societal collapse. Now, to me, this sounds like a lot of fear porn, so I'm not going to really go into much detail with it, but, you know, Operation Blue Beam is what Werner von Braun talked about, and he said that they were going to do this, Austin, about 60, 70 years ago. Now, whether or not they really want to pull the stunt, I don't know. We know that these alien ships, a lot of them are real. We know that from Angel Wars. We talked about it in depth. We talked about the space fleet that was used to basically go against God, all the rest of the stuff that we covered in, you know, Angel Wars. But, you know, I'm not sure about Stephen Greer. He really thinks that these ETs are all nice. And quite frankly, they're not. And because they're not really what we think they are as far as from a demonic standpoint. And I don't think that he has a Christian bone in his body, but I don't know. But the reality is that when you hear stuff like this, don't allow yourself to be, you know, caught up into the fear porn of this. It's very, very, very important. It really is, because a lot of people get wrapped up in it and they get really, really scared when you start talking about it. You know, it really is. Oh, by the way, Trump is now going to release, you know, supposedly all the information that he has on the would-be assassins, both on Thomas Matthew Crooks and Ryan Wesley Ruth. And so we'll see if that really happens, and we'll see if the CIA covers it.
Old CIA boys. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we'll see. We'll see what happens with all that.
Remember the one that he was basically the attempted assassination on the golf course? All of a sudden, they now have this indefinite extension on the trial date for him.
And the state of Florida is going nuts over this because they want to know who this guy is and what he was talking to doing. By the way, this is an interesting article. It says the DEI was the biggest con of the century. I have to agree with that. It says the DEI con has enriched thousands of hustlers nationwide. It has embedded many hundreds of crazy people in college bureaucracies and require Herculean efforts to root them all out. And it continues to attack the average person for the most dubious of ideological motivated reasons in training sessions, both on campuses and corporate America. I first heard of the actual acronym DEI Express while I was in a 7-Eleven at a campus during the early days of the university. No accidents, violence and threats of violence that opened the doors for this effervescent DEI, and it sounded absurd. You knew something was terribly wrong when anyone on a college campus objected to the mediocrity of the DEI hustle, knew there was something wrong with it. So more and more people now are coming out and saying that this is not going to be okay. This is not what they've done here is not okay. And we need to make sure that this stuff stops and it never, ever happens again. You know, Austin, we've talked about this DEI stuff for years and years and years. And quite frankly, I'm hoping that it's going to go away now under Trump. But if the Democrats get back in the power after Trump's in there, it'll all come right back again.
Well, one of the biggest things about this whole entire program is who's funding it and where's the money coming from. And we've now seen that and answered that question with a lot of stuff from USAID and all these other groups that have been funneling this cash. Because essentially, and we've talked about it before, the vast majority of people, even these hardcore communists, wouldn't give a crap about the transgender ideology and pushing it if it was coming out of their money and they would have to pay for it. If they were actually having to cough up cash.
That's like Oprah Winfrey. If Oprah Winfrey had to give out billions of dollars to try to do DEI, she would never do it.
It's easy to support something when somebody's giving you thousands of dollars a week or a month or whatever these programs were. The level of compromise and the level of just nefarious behavior, Trump administration, now they're saying, has scrapped over 80% of the USAID programs. Ruby has now confirmed. Listen to this. Over 5,000 government contracts terminated in a six-week review under the USAID group. 5,000 contracts. 5,000. Think about that for a second.
A lot of paper, man.
A lot of paper, a lot of money, a lot of groups, a lot of DEI, a lot of agenda behind that. They said the 5,200 contracts that are now canceled spent tens of billions of dollars in a way that nobody even could figure out, and in most cases even harm the national interests of the United States, Rubio said. Now there's apparently around 1,000 programs left, and USAID will no longer be overseeing those. They will be under the State Department now. So USAID is essentially being officially dissolved.
Remember Musk said when he first looked at it, he said it's so corrupt there's no fixing it.
No, there was no redeeming value of that group at all with the stuff that they were just running cash to all these different countries. And I told you guys when they started digging through it, they found that USAID, say, would give a $1 billion contract to this contractor that would go to an LLC, and then the LLC would have these other shell companies that were controlling it, and the money would go to those groups. And then come to find out, a lot of the money allegedly was just cycling back, portions of it, back to people in the government and other groups to fund other things that they wanted to.
It is
crazy.
Well, a lot of it's not going to go away. It'll just be pushed underneath another agency. But the truth is, at least people are beginning to realize how corrupt it is.
That's exactly right.
You know, at least people are starting to see it, except for the Democrats. They think that it's all great.
No, they're so mad.
You know what's so funny? You can show them what they're doing. You can show them how the money's being taken into a fraud, and they still don't believe you.
Oh, no.
I remember years ago, I was on a cruise. You know, Sharon and I used to do a lot of cruising around the world. And I remember I was talking to this guy who was a hardcore, bleeding heart liberal Democrat. And I told him, I said, he asked me who my favorite president was. And I looked at him and I said to him, John F. Kennedy. And he looked at me kind of funny. He goes, well, he's a Democrat. I said, well, you don't think that I know that? I said, I know he's a Democrat. And I said, but, you know, he was going to uncover the deep state and show everybody who he was. And when he did the newspaper, basically, speech, he said that there was basically this whole group that operated under covet means, and he was going to expose them and who they were and what they were before he got out of office. And he did this whole speech on it. And I told this Democrat, I said, Kennedy did this. Okay? And he goes, he did not. I said, yeah, he did. So I pulled the thing up on my telephone. I said, here it is. I don't believe that. And you're like, this is historical record. No, I don't believe it. And it's so funny to me, Austin, how some people, they don't believe anything that goes against what they've been programmed in their theta brainwave state. They simply won't believe it. And even if it's real. And so you got to be careful. Oh, by the way, you know, we got a real problem with, you know, psychiatric commitment and basically forced incarceration of the United States. I'm going to talk about this for a second, especially with soldiers, soldiers that are suffering from PTSD. And now the big report has come forward, and it said that a psychiatrist in a prominent trade journal recently expressed horror about the mass-scale involuntary commitment fraud perpetrated by a certain healthcare group. He said that they're basically locking people up, Austin, making up stuff about them, and then they drug them as quickly as they possibly can, and they keep them locked up, and they say that they're mentally ill, and they won't even let anybody else come in and examine them without drugs basically being given to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it said, according to the September 24 settlement agreement between Arcadia and the U.S. Department of Justice, America's second largest chain of psychiatric hospitals, valued at $7 billion, that they admitted ineligible patients. That is, they detained people who were not diagnosed with mental disorders and or did not meet legal criteria for involuntary commitment. Arcadia then submitted false statements and claims that is made fanciful medical records about how crazy these people allegedly were and how mental health care they allegedly needed. Acadia then billed for services not rendered and kept patients longer than medically necessary. That is, they locked people up for extended periods of time and often just drugged them into submission while claiming comprehensive therapeutic help was being provided. You know, this happened all over the United States. Now, the thing that bothers me with this, I'm thinking to myself, you know, they could say the same thing about Austin or me or you. And they can make up claims about any of us and say, so and so is crazy. We need to lock him up.
And now with AI.
This has a lot deeper implications in this article. And what it's showing is that we have a mental health facility out there with psychiatrists who are absolutely Looney Tunes. About 15 years ago, we were on a cruise. Always on cruises.
You seem to go on a lot of cruises.
We did about, in our 38 years of being married, we went on about 30 cruises.
Yeah.
You know that. You went on a bunch of them with us.
Oh, not that many.
You started college. And I remember, this is interesting. We sat down. We hopped on a ship in Hong Kong, and it was like Japan, that kind of stuff. It was going to be drawn to Japan, China, the rest of Shanghai. And we sat down at this table, and it was an interesting place to sit there in the middle of this room. And I'm trying to be nice here, by the way. And I remember I sat down and there were two people that were basically spoke English at the table with us. And then the other two basically spoke Chinese. So there were six of us. And so we started talking to the two people from New York. They were both Jewish and they're both psychiatrists.
There you go.
I kid you not. And I thought to myself, well, this is interesting. You know, we'll have to make a little discussion here with these guys. And then we start talking about, you know, different books and stuff that we had written. And then she starts in on Germans.
There you go.
I'm not kidding. I mean, starts in on Germans. If she was talking about, you know, the different Yiddish terms and stuff like that, I said, well, a lot of that's based in German stuff. And she went berserk. And so we got up and left the table and said that I told her she was a racist and I wasn't going to meet with her. So here's the thing. These are the types of people, if they sign off on it, they can have you committed.
Yep.
Anyway, you guys were wondering where I was going to go with that, weren't you? And so you think yourself, you know, do they have that kind of power? Well, if a group of these guys all sign off on you, they're going to Baker Act you. And they're going to haul you away.
And they're going to red flag gun law you. That's one of the spookiest things that's ever been put into place.
So this is just absolutely crazy when you start reading about this. And, you know, a social worker spent 6 days inside a hospital in Florida after she tried to get her bipolar medications adjusted. A woman who worked at a children's hospital was held for 7 days after she showed up at a Katy facility and looking for therapy. And after police officers raided a Katy hospital in Georgia, 16 patients told investigators that they had been kept there with no excuses or any reasons, according to a police report. They charged $2,200 a day for some patients, at times employed an array of strategies. And the sad part about this is a lot of these people, and I know this personally because we had a family member this happened to many, many decades ago. They were basically locked up in one of these hospitals for absolutely no reason whatsoever, couldn't get out until they ran out of money.
Yep.
Then they were put into a state institution, the Chattahoochee Medical Center up there, you know, in the panhandle. And then the family had to come in and say, there's nothing wrong with this person. They haven't done anything. They've always been like this. This is their personality. So finally they got the person released. You think? And that person, while they were in that facility, they gave him electroconvulsive shock therapy, Austin. against their will. Now, this just goes on and on and on. So psychiatric medicine, to me, is about 90% fraud. And you say, well, Dan, don't fuss at me. And then they start putting people on benzodiazepines and Xanax. Oh, yeah. And then the people are basically are alcoholics, and they know they're an alcoholic, and they throw them on these, and they combine these concoctions together, and the people go straight into this crazy phase of just like being a zombie. And you think, well, this is horrible. It is horrible. And that's the big problem with psychiatric medications. That's why we tell you guys, if you're having a problem, you're a little bit down, do the B-complex, do the 5-HTP, do the omega-3 oil. You know, we've got all that stuff available. I've got whole articles that I've written on psychiatric care on the website. And we talk about different deficiencies and what they can do and what they can cause, and how a psychiatric condition can be misdiagnosed because of a B vitamin deficiency. On and on and on this whole thing goes. Or hypoglycemia. If the blood sugar goes up and down, up and down, up and down, that person, when the blood sugar is too high, they don't feel good. When it goes too low, they feel horrible. They're about to pass out. I know Sharon. She used to take me shopping. Now, I'm an alpha male. You know, Austin's an alpha male. I absolutely loathe shopping. I really do. I mean, now, if I'm out to conquer something and buy something, like if Sharon and I were going to go on a trip or on a cruise, I didn't mind going out and watching her pick out a dress and pick out five of them, and I'd pick out the one I liked. I didn't have a problem with that. But just to go randomly through – you guys are laughing at me. And you know I'm right. Just to go randomly through Walmart – or any other store, not Walmart. Oh, God, forget Walmart.
Yeah, I was about to say, what? Walmart or the mall?
Okay, go to the mall, and you'll see women, and they'll start just sorting through dresses.
That's how they process them.
I know. And you're sitting there going, what are you looking for? Well, I don't know.
I don't know, yeah.
I'm just looking, and I'm like, my response is, I can't do this. We have to be able to conquer it.
I mean, I stopped by one of the malls in Orlando a while back ago, one of my buddies. He's like, what do you need to do? I said, I need to stop in and grab some new jeans. Went in, tried on a pair of jeans, liked them. I was out in probably 15 minutes flat, got what I needed, left.
Yeah, that
was big.
But ladies, most of the time you don't do that.
Two, it's, three, 4 hours at the mall, that's...
But that doesn't mean that anybody's, you know, these women are mentally ill. I'm mentally ill, it's just the way people are. And when they get locked up for doing things that are normal behavioral patterns for men and for women, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. And then you get the veterans, Austin. You know, and they're having some problem being depressed, and all of a sudden they're basically saying, well, you've got to start on this drug and then that drug and this drug. I had a friend of mine in Georgia, and Austin knows him well, and I won't mention any names out of respect for the family, and he had a real bad problem with hypoglycemia, real bad. Now his wife, you know, didn't really want to eat right. She was extremely overweight, and she was feeding him sugar all the time, but it was his responsibility not to eat it. And he was up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down until he ate clean, and then his blood sugar was stable. Because if you have really low blood sugar, you start acting nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And Sharon used to say to me before we go shopping, let me get you something to eat before we go shopping. Because if my sugar was low, I'd be like, it's been 2 minutes. It's time to go. I can't deal with this. And then if I'm all happy and I got my blood sugar good, I'll just sit in a chair and wait. You know, get on my iPhone or bring an iPad with me and do some work. And so it was interesting with that. But the whole point about what I'm trying to say here is this. If you have the right nutrient concentrations or the right blood sugar, you can have a lot of these issues that are, quote, considered psychiatric conditions ameliorated. If you want to use their term, they like to use that. And so it's very important that you make sure before you go on psychiatric drugs that you basically take care of yourself and take the right supplements. And my friend ended up going into a brain clinic up in the Atlanta area, and they put him on lithium. That'll cook your brain quicker than about anything, because they said he had a deficiency of lithium. Okay, don't even get me started on this. And so then before it was over, he had him on about a dozen psychiatric meds over the period of the next couple of years. You think, well, okay, was he better? No, he wasn't better. He got worse and worse and worse. He became psychotic from the meds. And finally, he ended up shooting himself and committing suicide. You think, well, this is a horrible story on a Monday. I know it's a horrible story. And I'm telling you, if you basically have the right nutrients and high enough concentrations in your brain and enough basically glucose in your brain, and you stabilize your blood sugar, in most cases, many of these conditions can be completely corrected. Period. I'm letting you guys know that in advance. So please, before you start on drugs that are going to alter you, make sure you try all kinds of nutritional therapies and dietary change first. Very, very important. And then they put you on compounds like Effexor, which is like a sustained release Prozac, which is so addictive, it's almost impossible to get off of. And then they'll switch you to Wellbutrin, and then they'll switch you to something else, and they'll switch you to something else, and switch you to something else. They're just guessing. And I remember my friend's wife told me about him up there in that brain clinic. She says, they really don't know what they're doing. They just guess. And they just try this and try that and try this. Let's combine these two.
Well, if they start putting you on these drug cocktails.
No, that's right.
And then you start having health problems and mental problems. And go, oh, well, that's just not working properly. You need this drug on top of it. It's like.
Well, what happened? He actually got so messed up on it. He went through a 7-day detox program, had to go into a clinic, right? Well, he got out of the detox program. Well, you don't realize it. Now, I'm not sure if he was on Xanax or not. I never discussed it with him. But Xanax is one of those drugs that you die coming off of that stuff. And he was having so many problems mentally in it. Like I said, he took his own life.
Benzodiazepines are bad enough, but the problem is when they start stacking that stuff with other SSRIs or other antidepressants.
I have seen people stack opiates I've seen it. I've never done this, but I've seen it. They'll stack an opiate with an SSR, along with an SSRI and then a benzo, like a Xanax, and then they throw some alcohol on top of it. And I'm telling you, it's like they're in a zombie state. They don't even remember anything that happened. And they walk around, like they're out of their minds.
Well, that is one of the side effects of Xanax as far as this memory loss and also basically forgetting things that happen. It just blocks it off. And that's the scary part, because what they do is a lot of times they're putting some of these veterans on these drugs, and then they come back and say, oh, you're acting erratic on these drugs, or you have PTSD. They don't want just actual drug side effects. And they go, well, now we're going to red flag gun law you. Now we're Baker Acting you. We're seizing all your firearms, and you got to go to court and prove that you're able to legally own a firearm again.
Or they lock you up in a facility and drug you into a stupor. I mean, you saw that with the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
With Jack Nicholson. That's an old movie. I don't really recommend watching it unless you want to see the danger of psychiatric hospitalization. But it's finally they couldn't get him to calm down, so they lobotomized him, Austin,
yeah.
Which is something that was very, very common back in the 50s and the 60s. They would just go in and scramble the frontal lobe of your brain and just lobotomize you. And, well, we have to lobotomize them. It's the only way we can control them. Well, maybe they don't want to be controlled. But if you lobotomize them, I guarantee you're going to control them. It's horrible what happened to that movie. So just be really, really careful if you start putting people into psychiatric facilities or taking them to psychiatrists, because in some cases, it'll backfire.
Well, there's so much fraud with it. I mean, there's another one here. New analysis estimates $1.1 trillion in Medicaid improper payments, essentially to insurance companies and also to hospitals.
$1 trillion.
$1.1 trillion in wrong payments and basically overpayments is what a lot of this comes down to.
Look at all the COVID payments. You die of COVID, you're going to get about $100,000 bonus.
You nasal swabbed them, they're PCR tested positive for COVID. Dead? Oh, yeah, it's COVID. I still remember the motorcycle death up here in Florida.
Yeah, he dismembered himself, yeah.
Horrible, horrible motorcycle accident. And, I mean, yeah, they swabbed him, in the morgue. Oh, he's had PCR tests. He's positive now. I mean, the whole thing was a total sham. Also, too, I want to address this because most of the mainstream media is not covering it. I covered it shortly on Friday about the civil war in Syria. There's been almost 1,000 Christians who have been executed. I don't mean like just straight up like, I'm talking close range, point blank gunshot wounds to the face that they're reporting now with videos on this. Basically, Syrian forces and rebels have gone through, and they say since Thursday, more than 1,000 people, mostly Christian minorities, have been executed. They're saying they've reached out to Syria's representatives to figure out what's causing this to get worse, as security forces and al-Assad loyalists. Subsequent revenge killings has climbed to more than 1,000 people in the last few days, the deadliest period. And what's crazy about this is, anything like this happens with other groups, it'll be all over the mainstream media. It'll be covered every single day, talking about how the United States needs to get involved. We need to do this. There's virtually nothing covering this in the mainstream media. And they're trying to play it off and act like these aren't Christian executions. They're almost all Christian executions. And it's a very, very bad problem in Syria.
It's the same thing. Iraq had a huge Christian population under Saddam Hussein.
Yep.
Just thought I'd here tell you guys that. And they came in and they wiped them out after Iraq fell, after we took it over.
Right,
same thing's happening in Syria. The same thing happened in Gaza. There was huge Christian populations in Gaza. I played that video for you guys like a few months back about this Lutheran pastor who was begging for help in Gaza. He said, you don't understand what they're doing to us here. They're killing us. They're coming in and targeting Christians.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah, and so you got to remember, it's like you said, 1,000 Jews were killed.
Oh boy,
revenge killing. Oh my God, we're having World War III.
Oh, immediately.
We're having World War III. Now Trump you know, in order to try to fix some of the mess that's done by his predecessor and all these weapon systems that are going into Ukraine, he turned off the missile systems in Ukraine.
I heard that.
You know, I never thought about that, that you have a system that basically is linked into the internet, I guess.
It's all satellites.
It's all satellites. Yeah, and basically said he shut off the missiles in Ukraine. He said that Ukraine also possesses long-range heavy missiles from the UK and France as well, and he's assuredly still in possession of Ukraine. Interestingly enough, Trump also ordered the UK to cease intelligence sharing with the Ukraine.
Yep.
So he's ordering the UK now to do that. On Wednesday, United States Commander-in-Chief Donald Trump ordered the missiles in Ukraine to be turned off, preventing Ukraine from launching them into Russia. Missiles have been privately, this was all given to him by the Biden administration. They were launching hundreds of miles into Russia.
Oh, I know.
Unbelievable. They're like, let's just stoke the bear and let's try to do World War III.
Something's going on with this, though, because, I mean, this is a heavy, heavy push to cut weapons and fighting with Ukraine. So either they're trying to get Europe to get stoked up and handle this on their own, or they're really trying to de-escalate this, or like I said the other day, Trump may be trying to distance himself from this entire money laundering, weapon trafficking scheme that's happened over there. But something's going on because they're getting very, very aggressive with cutting back the funding and support for Ukraine now.
Well, you got to remember, you know, we talked about this in depth. You know, Russia was pushing for a different reserve currency globally. Yeah. And the United States dollar was in trouble.
We had the BRICS.
Yeah.
They were getting traction, by the way. A lot of traction.
And so we had to kick the can down the road a little bit more. And now we're aligning with Russia, which is kind of wild to me because, I mean, I never thought Putin was a bad dude. Please don't send me letters on this. And I know that the Russian people are not bad people because I've spent a bunch of time with them on trips. They're really nice. They're nice as we are. Just don't be poor.
Remember, the mainstream media always has to have a boogeyman. They always have to have somebody that you have to be scared of. There has to be somebody to direct your anger, your fear towards. They do it whether it's an item like COVID, a virus, or it's Al-Qaeda, or it's ISIS, or it's Russia. There's always has to be a boogeyman. Somebody that they always have is essentially the villain the mainstream media has to be able to portray. Always.
No, that's true. And so when we understand that, then we start to realize that they always have to have. Remember, it's like Otto Kahn said in that Geneva versus Peace. He said that basically we control everything.
Yep.
We control the left and the right control paradigm. It's what we do. And it's kind of like you go, well, it can't be that control. It really is that control. Nothing happens in politics by accident, period. This stuff has been thought of. You know, I was talking about it yesterday. I did a podcast yesterday. I was on for like 2 hours, and it was the craziest thing. I started talking about how they had billions of vials of basically vaccine in sub like 270 degrees below zero, also,
right,
that they've been making for decades.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden they had to release it, you know, in frozen systems, and they had to bring all these deep freezers in the hospitals that could go to 250, 260 degrees below zero. There's no way you can manufacture 5 billion vaccines in a year. It's not. We don't have the ability to do that. They had to stockpile it for years, for decades. For decades, COVID had been planned. You know, when DARPA did the initial research on this stuff back over 25 years ago, every single cat, every single ferret died of sepsis when they tried to put mRNA vaccines into them. And so it skipped the human trials and went directly into the humans. I mean, we were the trial, Austin. 5 billion people on the planet. Now we're getting blood clots everywhere.
Well, and the thing was, pericarditis everywhere. This was the topic that I even asked physicians and other individuals about when the whole thing was happening with COVID. I said, why in the world does the COVID vaccine need to be kept colder than doggone Antarctica? Why does it have to be negative 70 degrees Celsius? I mean, there's no place even anywhere that even gets that cold. Negative 70 degrees Celsius? In order to keep the vaccine safe and stable, it didn't make any sense. Nobody could explain to me that level of basically temperature to store a vaccine because there's never been a vaccine that's had to be kept that cold before. And again, it goes back to exactly what you said. There's a lot of this stuff, as far as from the theories and the research, this stuff has been around for quite a while. This is not something that just got batched up and sent out, you know, distributing the vaccines. We just manufactured them. We just batched them right now. They're going to be sent out to everybody. Negative 70 degrees Celsius. Come on. Nothing has to be stored that cold.
By the way, I was on with Stephen Ben-Noon from Israel News Live. That's who I did the show with yesterday for 2 hours. I've already been getting texts and emails on it from all over the place. So you guys want to hear a show that went everywhere. I mean, this thing went everywhere. It went to aliens. It went to Antarctica, Austin. It went to COVID. It went to mRNA vaccines. I mean, it was a full 2-hour podcast that was really covering a lot of different topics. But if you guys want to hear a pretty good show, you played that one from yesterday. Very, very, very important as you guys listen to it. And by the way, I got to talk to Steve for a while. He's completely, totally wide awake, and he's a really, really strong Christian. I really like the guy. Okay, what's your next story, Austin?
Hey, there's another article here I was coming up on, too. Where did it go here? Yes, RFK Jr. is meeting with leaders of the processed food industrial complex now. He's reportedly to be meeting with senior leadership of General Mills, PepsiCo, and others within the big food industry today. The report cites four people familiar with the meeting, but stressed that the attendee list could still change. He said America's best chance at rolling back the ultra-processed food and food additive industry, one of the main drivers for the obesity crisis, alarming national security threat. He's been publicly accused the industry of harming America's health and highlighted the dangers of processed foods and seed oils. He would say, so when my uncle was president, only 3% of America was obese. Today it's over 70%. 70% of America's obese now.
Well, it's going to be 100% pretty quick. Well, it'll be 99% because there'll always be some people like, you know, us that are going to work out and eat clean.
I love our listeners.
And that's our listeners too.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because somebody sent me the other day, it was a comparison contrast, but I wish I had it up here. And it was basically, it was like a beach photo from the 60s.
Oh, I saw that.
Like every single person's in shape. There's not even anybody that's even moderately even overweight. And then it showed a photo from like 2023. Some people should not have been on the beach.
Well, you know, I was at the beach, you know, on Friday, and I couldn't believe, you know, how many people were running around in swimsuits that should have just been like wearing cover-ups. And that, don't send me a letter on this. I'm not in the greatest shape I've ever been in either. I got that. But I'm not running around at 400 pounds.
No. I mean, and the thing about it is this has to be addressed because, I mean, there's obviously a problem that's going on with the health of America. I mean, when you start having, you know, autism 30 years ago was 1 in 10,000 kids. Mm-hmm. Now it's 1 in 32 kids, and it's getting much, much worse.
1 in 2 kids now have problems mentally as far as issues.
Is it that bad now?
Pretty bad, yeah. In fact, Stephanie Sinet from MIT said that if the current trend doesn't change, that 100% of the kids will have some type of mental disorder, learning disability by 2035. She said it's that bad. And so if this vaccine stuff doesn't stop and this food additive stuff doesn't stop, it's going to get much, much, much. And the other thing, too, let me say one thing about this. One of the biggest factors that's caused all – give me this camera, please, Rich. One of the biggest factors that's caused all of this obesity, especially among women – now, don't send me letters because there's plenty of guys that are obese, too, all right? Women have a tendency to like to go out with their friends at lunch, a lot of women, and drink wine.
Yeah, it's pretty popular.
It's just what it is, you know, and then they don't realize because the French paradox has told them that they're going to be healthier if they do this, that it's unbelievably difficult for a woman to process alcohol. It's really much harder for her than a guy. So what ends up happening is there's a production of a hormone called lipase that's almost completely stopped when you drink 1 ounce of alcohol or have like one glass of wine. So if you have a glass of wine, it takes like 3 to 4 days for it to come back to normal. And that helps to burn fat instead of store fat. So if you drink a glass of wine on Monday or Tuesday and you drink another one on Thursday or Friday, you literally have eliminated the massive production your body needs of lipase to burn fat. So you gradually start gaining weight. And men, the same thing happens with you too, with beer and with wine. But for some reason, women really like the wine because they like to sit there and pretend like they're really classy by drinking alcohol and drinking wine.
I've
seen it because the bottle of wine was $500. And you go,
that's just silly.
And you're like, great.
Well, here's another factor, though, that people don't realize.
That's caused a big old part of the obesity crisis.
Obesity, yeah. Well, and now into it, and this ties into it. I've tried to explain this to people, and nobody seems to understand this concept. Is they go, well, look at some of the French, look at some of the Italians, look at some of the Mediterranean diets, and they have wine in a lot of their diet. Look at their diet as well. They're not eating French fries at McDonald's and Taco Bell 10 times a week. They're usually eating salads with olives. They're eating fresh fish. They're eating a diet that's very high in omega-3 fats and very good digestible proteins. So if they do occasionally have some alcohol or wine with it, the body isn't having a hard time processing the food and not storing its body fat because it's really clean food. You go drink a couple beers and go eat a whole pizza, bro, you're asking to put on an enormous amount of body fat on a regular basis.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. So just be aware of that as the food ties in a huge major role. And when you have the alcohol in with bad food, it like amplifies it 10 times as far as making it more
And different. One other thing, too, is the aspartame helps to do that, too, especially with women.
We just covered that story in here.
Well, because the aspartame makes your body think it's getting sugar, starts pumping
it. It actually releases insulin.
Yep. And when it has a bit, you start storing body fat like crazy. I remember there was a girl locally, she was a hairdresser, and she was like, had won like the local town beauty queen pageant, and she was stunning. And her husband went off to war, and she was literally drinking like one of these 2-liter things of aspartame loaded diet
soda. What about things with no sugar in it? Hmm? Zero calories.
Well, then so she started gaining weight. Well, she started drinking more of the diet sodas. Jesus, and finally, I watched her literally over a period of a year gain 100 pounds. And I kept saying to her, this stuff is making you gain weight. No, it's not. It doesn't have any calories. I said, it doesn't matter. It's from a biochemical standpoint. Don't drink this. Her husband came back from the war. He had been sent over to Iraq, Austin. He probably divorced her after he saw what she'd done. You say, well, should he have done that? Probably not. But the point is that, you know, when you marry somebody and they look a certain way, and guys, this goes for you too. This is about women. If you decide you would have gained 300 pounds and you're married to your wife, was that something she signed up for either? I mean, nobody signs up for that. But the problem is a lot of people don't realize it's the wine, it's the aspartame, it's the food additives. And Kennedy's covering this right now.
Yeah, he's covering a lot with aspartame. And this story that we just covered the other day was a study that suggests that widely used sugar substitute, it's in everything from diet drinks to chewing gum to low-fat sugar. It slowly basically causes a slow insulin spike, a slight insulin spike, because it's 200 times sweeter than sugar. It tricks the body by activating the sweet taste receptors in the mouth, signaling the pancreas to prepare for incoming sugar.
After aspartame entered the mysis system, this is the stuff in the blue packs. Don't ever put this stuff in your body. It is toxic beyond belief. And you mix it with nitrites, it causes brain cancer. So you have a pepperoni pizza and a diet soda, you basically cause brain cancer. You combine those two compounds together, you create a compound called a diketylpeperazine. It forms a nitrosuria, and nitrosurias are one of the most effective agents known to man for producing malignant brain tumors. You know, Austin, it's unbelievable. It's like the trifecta. You gain weight, you feel awful, you have memory lapses, and then you basically die of brain cancer. I mean, it's just awful. And it's just, this stuff's even on the market. It's been on the market now for over 40 years. It's hard to believe.
Well, and this is why Kennedy is covering it so much now and wanting everybody to talk about this stuff. Here's another one right here. Researchers at Florida State University, results of their 4-year animal study showed an increased risk of anxiety associated with the use of aspartame. This goes back to the brain chemistry you were just talking about now. They said the increased risk was found to extend up to 2 generations of the animal as the trait was passed to both male and female offspring.
Epigenetics.
That's crazy.
Transferred, yep.
Aspartame's causing epigenetic issues.
Well, no, I know a pastor over in Lakeland. I mean, he drank a gallon of diet sodas a day, and his mood swings were ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, it was horrible. And, you know, and I talked and talked and talked, and he was obese. And I talked and talked and talked and talked. It didn't make a difference. He liked his Diet Coke. I want my Diet Coke. And I'm like, oh, great.
And it's addictive.
Aspartame is addictive. And, you know, it's got alcohol. You know, it's unbelievably bad. It cannot be made down poisonous.
Well, don't even get into the phosphoric acid and like Coca-Cola and stuff with the soda.
Oh, my God. Let's get off this. Christy Dome says 2 leakers of the DHS operations information have been identified and they will be prosecuted. We have identified 2 leakers of information here at the Department of Homeland Security. We've been telling individuals about our operations and putting law enforcement lives in jeopardy, she shared. We plan to prosecute these 2 individuals and hold them accountable for what they have done. We're going to continue to do everything we can to keep America safe. I like the fact that she's doing that. I think it's amazing that she's basically prosecuting these people that are the leakers that are telling people the truth. Remember a couple of years ago, that one girl who had been in the Air Force came in and started talking about chemtrails.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that was out there with chemtrails and how it was being used basically to spray the skies above the United States. And boy, she got quickly silenced fast. She was actually signing off on all the aluminum, barium oxide that was being shipped into the Air Force base. And she came and told the people about it. But boy, they shut her down really, really, really fast. And I'm glad she did what she did, because I tell you what, people need to know the truth that we're being sprayed like vermin here in the United States. It really is.
Well, it's insane. That entire program, it slowed down for a bit when a lot of this DOGE stuff started coming up and a lot of this money started getting cut back. And then they started spraying again.
Oh, by the way, Neuralink has now filed telepathy and telekinesis trademarks.
There you go.
How about that? You know, I think it'd be kind of fun to have a little telekinesis, though.
It's an interesting concept.
Well, no, you got Luke Skywalker, right? He wants his baton, his lightsaber. He holds his hand out, and the lightsaber comes to him. That's pretty slick. But I'm not going to get a brain shift to be able to do that.
No.
You may not ever be able to do that with a brain shift. They just may tell you may be able to do that to get more people to take brain shifts. And, of course, telepathy, they're saying that, too, where you can talk to people without having to, you know, really move your lips, I guess. and kind of go brain to brain. Now, that's probably, that might be possible with a hive mind, because that's what Lucifer is planning on doing when he hooks us into the hive mind through the Neuralink and all the other things he's planning on doing. So don't think that, you know, Elon Musk is your buddy, Austin. Don't think this. He's not. He's pushing all of this stuff. It's very important we understand this. You know, he's basically a cutout from the deep state. They always pick one person. They say, you do what we tell you to do, we're going to make you immensely wealthy.
Well, don't forget, like I said, I'll take a win where I can get him with a lot of these cuts.
I like what he's doing. Some of the,
but don't also forget the fact that he has gotten billions of dollars in federal subsidies in order to keep Tesla alive with the EV market and push those commercials.
Tesla's down 70% in sales in Europe
The vehicles, and like I said, I'm not picking on anybody that comes. I know some people have been able to get out of them and stuff, but every single time I talk to any dealerships, I work with a lot of dealerships on a regular basis, they keep telling me that the vehicles have no floor. Meaning you have a vehicle, usually it has a depreciation curve. It starts depreciating a certain amount, and then you kind of hit a floor on it where it drops a little bit over time.
Like a Porsche Corvette, like a Corvette.
Right.
A Chevrolet Corvette.
So Corvette, you know, sticker on a Corvette, $70,000. It may drop off $5,000 the first year, and then a couple thousand every year after that, depending on miles-wise. But it kind of hits a floor. The EVs, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, there's no floor. It's just the floor is zero. And everybody's starting to figure out where it is now. And so that whole entire program.
That's where they come out of warranty.
Oh, yeah. And now we're starting to see it with the hybrid exotic cars that they've come out with now. These cars were, some of them were going for $600,000-$800,000. Insane amount of money for these cars. They're down now. Some of them are $300,000-$400,000, less than half price they were 2 years ago.
And most of those cars, those exotics, the Ferraris and the Lamborghinis, held their value pretty well.
Yeah.
But they don't when they're hybrids.
When they're hybrids, they're not holding it. And now what's happened is now a lot of the older cars, they're 6-speed manuals. I've never seen stuff go up so much in price. Some of the older exotics, the 6-speed gated manuals, like 3-pedal cars, they've gone through the roof now.
Because
that's what people just, they want that old school stuff.
They want the old Porsches. They want the old Porsche air-cooled turbos.
Yeah.
6-speeds.
Yeah.
They love those cars. And they've gone, they're hundreds of thousands of dollars now. They sold new for like $70,000.
Yeah.
You know, they've gone up and up and up and up. You know, I guess that's why Jerry Seinfeld, Seinfeld was pretty smart doing it. He bought a whole bunch of those.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I've got a friend of mine who owns a dealership over in Lakeland, and he told me he has one. And he said it's his favorite car to drive.
Oh, they're very visceral, the old ones.
He says a turbo. He says there's so much turbo lag.
Oh, yeah.
You're driving it, and you downshift it. You gas it, and nothing happens. All of a sudden, it just explodes
it's
on
like
you.
It's like a two-stroke turbo.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. to me, that sounds a little bit weird.
It's the experience, though. That's the whole point of it. It's that visceral experience. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why so many people have not adapted and taken on the EVs that are actually motorheads. See, I've driven them before, and there's nothing.
They had that. What was that? Fast. The Porsche Taycan. They had the pump of sound of a motor in it to make it so horrible.
It's embarrassing Porsche.
But it was so fast it'd make you nauseous.
Oh, it was unbelievably fast. But those things have tanked too. Yeah, they've tanked.
They're $200,000 car selling for $70,000 now.
Horrible. This is another article, too, came up. Says, Trump's crypto reserve a power play or a risk? Why gold still wins?
Gold always wins.
And he's talking about this crypto strategic reserve now, where essentially anything that gets seized in digital assets, the U.S. government's going to basically keep a crypto reserve now. This whole thing's very strange to me. It's very shady as well. I know they've talked about, you know, crypto's gone up and down. There's a lot of speculation on that market if you're into it. But again, at the end of the day, gold has held the test of time.
Bitcoin is prone to price swings, regulatory crackdowns, exchange failure. Gold doesn't disappear in a hack.
Frozen in a government wallet.
It doesn't get frozen in a government wallet or rely on a blockchain to exist.
Yeah.
It has intrinsic value. I love that.
Well, that's the thing. I was telling one of my buddies about it. He was like all into crypto. And I was like, dude, it's fine. I mean, there's different stuff about it. It makes a lot of money with it.
Gold is the asset investors turn to when they want something that won't be debased. We told you guys to buy gold at $800 and $1,200 an ounce.
Yeah.
We told you. I'm not giving you financial advice.
It's very, very simplistic, though. Like, you know, say you bought a gold eagle years ago for $1,000 an ounce, and now it's worth $3,000 an ounce. If you need to go sell that, any coin store, any pawn store, any gold store, any pretty much place in the entire world will buy it from you on the spot.
A government-backed crypto reserve may be a historic move, but it doesn't change one fact. Gold remains the ultimate store of value. No blockchain, no government, no central bank needed, just a hard asset that has preserved wealth for centuries.
I mean, and again, I'm not, no, we're not giving you any financial advice, but I am telling you, there's pros and cons to a lot of stuff. But one
I'm going to give this financial advice.
Oh boy,
I am. I'm going to give you financial
disclosure
advice
on here.
Okay. Now I'm going to disclaim it now and say you listen or not listen. I'm going to just give you some financial advice. Don't buy things that you don't need to impress people you don't know.
That's true.
Don't buy things you don't need to impress people you don't know. I see that all the time. You know, a guy shows up and he goes, I want a Lamborghini. There's six of us going to get a lease. They say, buy a Lamborghini. You get a yours. And all of a sudden they go, okay, we're going to take turns. Every night of the week you get to use the car one time to go on a date so you can tell your date. You're laughing. You know it's true.
It happens a lot, man.
And so all of a sudden now you're driving around Lamborghinis, but you get a 1/7 ownership of this thing. So one night a week you get the car, so you better have a date. So you show up with your date, and then from then on, what are you going to tell your date? Oh, it's in the shop. Oh, it's having new tires put on. Oh, I couldn't drive the Lambo tonight.
Check engine light came on. It's in the shop.
Oh, so, yeah.
I got the Honda.
How do you? First of all, let me ask yourself a question. Would it be better to pick the date up in a Ford Pinto, and then they would know that basically you didn't have a pot to urinate in, right? And if they're going to like you, they're going to like you for who you are. Or has our society become so messed up as far as wealth and transition of wealth and dating wealth, all the rest of that wealth, that guys need to now have a lease on a Lamborghini to impress the girl they don't know the first time they go out?
Well, one of the biggest factors is
I'm asking that question. Where are we now?
It's one of the biggest factors that's played a role in the downfall of society is social media. It's been a pro and a con.
Most time when I go on a date, I take the pickup truck.
Everybody loves a good Chevy pickup truck. Yeah, I love my truck.
If you don't like a Silverado, there's something wrong with you. And if you don't like a Ford Lariat, there's something wrong with you. I mean, there's something wrong with you if you don't like a good-looking truck.
They're nice vehicles, too, man. I
mean, yeah.
But the thing about it is social media has been a double-edged sword for marketing, for media, for networking. It's been great. But on the other hand, now, too, you've got these younger kids that feel like they have to constantly keep up with the next group on social media, even to the point of getting in significant debt with money they don't have to try to impress people with partial ownership in cars.
It's funny, isn't it?
It's a very, very big thing now. And that's exactly what's starting to happen because they want to be the next person on social media has this. And they don't realize 90% of these social media influencers.
Oh, more than that.
They're probably 99%
of
them.
They're broke.
They're all fraud. Yeah. They're all broke. They're fake jewelry and fake watches and partial ownership in cars and all they're doing. And then they have these courses. That's a big thing now. They want to tell you how to make all this money. And they flaunt all this stuff that they don't even have that's not even theirs. And buy my course for $1,000. I'll show you how to get money.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, dude,
focus on yourself. It's always been like that. You get the real estate gurus back in the 80s and 90s who had infomercials, buy my course on real estate investment, blah, blah, blah. Yep. You find out they got it. They don't have anything. A lot of them end up going to jail.
No, a lot of it turns into a Ponzi scheme.
No, it was a bunch of lies. Yep. There's one guy, I remember, he had his jet and his mansion. None of it belonged to him.
Yep.
And then he brought in fake testimonials. It was unbelievable. Everything was a fraud.
Yep.
And he ended up going to prison.
It's the same thing now. Social media just made it more prevalent because anybody and their mom can set up an account and start posting stuff on there.
TikTok, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
Let's pretend we're something we're not as soon as we possibly can to try to get as many people involved with our lives as we possibly can to try to have some type of social media influence as quickly as we possibly can so we can date as many beautiful women or good-looking guys as we possibly can and have people bestow gifts on us just to be in our presence.
Wait a minute.
Is it that? You think,
is that shallow?
Oh, no, it's that shallow. Some of the dating apps. I want to be treated by like a princess. You have to shower me with gifts. And the guys show up and they've got their fake Lamborghinis. And, it's just make sure before you go out with anybody, just a newsflash, do a background check and do a video chat with them. Make sure they actually look like their photographs. I'm speaking from experience.
Sometimes you told me
it's called catfish.
20-year-old photos they post online. You showed me.
Oh my gosh!
Person, I'm like, what? What they think was going to happen
when you saw them?
I know you told me that. I'm like,
oh, and same thing. I went out with this one girl. She met this guy, and it wasn't even the same guy in the photograph.
No,
it's a different person. He used somebody else's photo, so it goes both directions. You go, what the heck are you thinking?
Oh, man. It's a wild world we live in today. It's something else.
I need to do a dating show. You guys want me to do a dating show? So it wouldn't be part of this.
This is Team Health Masters.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
That's your.
I don't want it to be my thing. My wife passed away. I don't want to be doing any of this stuff. But I tell you what it does do, I used to get these emails in all the time. you know, how did you find Sharon? How do you find a good person to go out with? And I'm thinking, well, that can't be that hard. Yeah, it's a lot of work is what it is. And you got to really go through a lot of different people as far as filtering them out to make sure they're even the real person in the photograph. And if they don't video chat with you, you're a catfish. Just mention that.
Well, there's an article. I'm not going to go into detail on it. It's a very sad article, and it was a 16-year-old girl. They found her remains out in the woods last week down here in Florida. She met a guy that was on a dating app. He was 30 years old. She met up with him, ended up like moving into his house for a couple of days. Apparently, she had a bunch of home problems. And the other girl that was living with this guy, long story short, they accused her. I was just reading the article on last night. They accused her of stealing jewelry. They ended up killing her, and they butchered her and then dumped her body out in the woods. And they're charged with first-degree murder. Now, the girl's 16 years old.
And, you know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of people get so desperate, Austin, they'll believe anything they see on a dating app.
That's true.
And then of course, the other person asks you for your wallet or information for the to wire money to you to try to help you. What they're trying to do is empty your account.
Yeah.
And so just be careful out there, guys. This is a weird place that we're in now as far as from a dating standpoint. I mean, I don't like being in this at all, but it's very, very strange.
Speaking of fraud stuff, too, I get emails all the time. Never, ever, ever log into anything the emails send you.
No.
They send you email. Oh, your account's transferred this. Do not click on those emails. Mm-hmm. Go directly to a site or go to your bank and ask them to start looking at it and see if there's what's going on. Because 100% of the time I've gotten those emails, they're always fraud. They're always trying to get you to – because once you log in to that shell email, mm-hmm. they just got your password and they got your login that fast. It happens all the time. I was just at Arbecula Day.
Especially with the tolls on the road.
Yes.
That's a big scam now.
If you get tagged with those, whatever. Find out when you got to pay them. Talk to them direct and pay them. But there's a lot of them now. They're sending people emails. Oh, you've had a toll violation. You have to pay the toll now. We're going to suspend your license.
Oh, and another thing with the dating thing is never give them your cell phone number.
Yeah.
Because they sell the number to these types of people. And they're the people you're giving the number to aren't real. So if all they do is give you a number, they want you to call them, do a caller ID block
there
on
you
them.
Go.
And if they don't answer, then you know they're a scam anyhow. And then that way they don't get your number recorded to sell it. You think, gosh, Ted, it can't be this bad.
It's that bad.
I don't know how we got off of this topic. But, I mean, neither. Let's just change topic. Okay, today's daylight saving time, the first day of having to deal with this.
Oh, gosh.
The spring forward of daylight saving time comes with health concerns. This is an excellent article. While the promise of longer evenings can be appealing to many after a long, dark winter, there's health concerns. Losing just 1 hour of sleep can throw off your internal clocks in ways that ripple through our health, spiking risks for heart problems, groggy commutes, and restless nights. As the debate over daylight savings time ticks on, local experts are urging people to take this seasonal shift seriously. The annual daylight savings time is set to begin at 2 o'clock on Sunday, which was yesterday, and set those clocks ahead 1 hour adjusting. It can take some adjusting. We have this central clock in our brain called the hypothalamus. It keeps our internal biological processes synchronized to the outside world, said Matthew Lyris, a professor of psychiatry at the University of Pittsburgh. This clock is strongly controlled by light exposure, morning sunlight, and also nighttime darkness. This whole thing needs to go away. Trump needs to sign an executive order.
Make sure you get enough sleep, my friends. If you guys need anything, Team Health Masters, be sure to check out the different kits that we have on sale. Got some new ones coming up soon, including the Ultimate Focus Stack, the Purple Stitch, and the Tension Factor. Great kit. Y'all have a blessed day. Awesome. Night, my friend. Stay strong, healthy, get some sleep on this whole daylight savings time thing again. And you guys have a blessed time talking again tomorrow as always.
I had the opportunity to pray for you guys yesterday's church. I was at the altar at the union to pray for you. And it's my privilege and my pleasure to always pray for you. And I hope and pray you continue to work on your relationship with Christ all the days of your life. Remember, He loved you. He died for you. Resurrected for you. He's there to provide an eternal sacrifice for you right now. And God Almighty, we have a relationship with God. I love you guys. I appreciate you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.
Hi. Hi, this is Brother Steve from Lifeline Ministries. Be sure to listen to the Lifeline Live at 5.05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Friday right here on the Global Star Satellite Network. You can go to gsradio.net. See you then.